some people look at social media and they're like, this is our initiative. We're doubling down because we believe in this type of content creation, whatever. That's where it varies by company and whatever is appropriate. But if people are up against shiny objects, I just say stop everything. Like if you're really feeling overwhelmed, stop and then do the audit. And so to prevent that as you go, it's just going back, what am I willing to prioritize without investing more money into it? And what am I willing to prioritize because I need to invest more money into it? And those are going to be different answers.
Welcome back to the Honest Marketing Podcast, where you learn proven strategies to grow your business without selling your soul. I'm your host, Travis Allbritton. And today I had the pleasure of sitting down with Caroline Crawford, who is the founder of Cultivate Communications, to talk about integrated marketing. So in this episode, you'll hear her unique approach to partnering with business owners, helping them figure out where their marketing is, where it needs to be, and how to reach their long-term goals for their business with the right marketing methods and strategies. And so definitely appreciate her perspective and the things that she was able to explore on this episode as we kind of dug through what are the things that you as a business owner or someone in your marketing department need to be mindful of or aware of or thinking about to make sure that all of your efforts are moving in the right direction, that all the initiatives, the strategies, the campaigns, they're all aligned with where you want to be and where you want to go and what you're hoping to achieve with your marketing. Definitely make sure you stick around to the very end of the episode where I'll give you my number one takeaway from Caroline. But here it is. Let's dive in. Well, Caroline, welcome to the Honest Marketing Podcast. I feel like we're going to have a lot of fun together, probably too much fun, but I guess we'll see how it goes.
Thank you so much for having me, Travis. I can't wait to dive in with you.
So before we dig into all the juicy stuff that we were kind of planning and prepping for before we hopped on and started recording, I'd love to just hear a little bit of background on you, your experience in marketing, and then also the work that you do with your company, Cultivate Communications.
Yeah. So I have been in marketing and communications for 13 years. I started way back in college and literally just never stopped. I loved it so much. And I had a very unique career background in that I was always at companies that had very limited resources. The marketing team was always very lean. And sometimes I worked at essentially marketing agencies or style of marketing, but in the in-house, I was always in the in-house side and working for kind of like the corporate space. And so my clients were essentially my coworkers. And we came up with, we came across a lot of challenges. And the last couple of places I was at in my career really helped shape, I think, and influenced what started Cultivate Communications, which is my company now. And so what I realized at the time was, and what basically prompted me to start Cultivate, was that there is a big gap in the way that marketing is seen within an organization and the way that support was delivered. Because we were lean, finding resources to help us, even in the short term, was nearly impossible. To help round us out was such a challenge, and it became more of a headache than it was worth and put a lot of strain on the internal team, aka me, many times. And I just was like, that shouldn't be the way it is. And not all of that was due to external factors. A lot of it was also due to internal factors and the way that leadership saw marketing. And I was at a finance company, and they were like, they had no idea what marketing was. They just kept thinking that we weren't doing anything. And I was like, I'm happy to boycott, like, if you want, so you can see. But it was just so frustrating in that sense. So Cultivate was born out of my frustration in many ways, to be like, this isn't right. It shouldn't be this difficult to find support that you can trust, support that's reliable, support that doesn't basically potentially kill your company if it doesn't work out well. And on the flip side, it shouldn't, you know, it's a systemic problem a lot of the time. So I wanted to target that. So Cultivate Communications helps businesses at pivotal growth stages essentially build their marketing infrastructure for them. And so the way that we operate is as an extension of their team. There are many times where we are, one, referred to as their entire marketing team. We operate, we do the ugly stuff that agencies or freelancers don't want to do. Like we're doing, you know, we just kind of make sure that there's well-rounded support, whether we're the ones actually implementing or we're working with partners and providing sort of that third party. I'm like a lot of the times an advocate for my clients in many ways because they don't know what they don't know. And so I'm there and sometimes I'm fighting with other agencies that screwed them over. Sometimes I'm, you know, helping manage systemic issues in the sense of operations are just not going well or whatever. So we essentially are a marketing infrastructure to help companies at those really critical stages stand on their own two feet and basically dive into marketing because they've never done it before or not in the way that it really felt like a team.
Yeah. Marketing can be like this black box, the way that a lot of leadership thinks about it, or business owners. It's like, we know it's important. There's some happenings that go on in the marketing team, you know, and I think back to like the old GoDaddy commercials where, you know, it was like, oh man, the marketing team, they have all the fun. They're throwing like this big rager party and you have all the nerds like trying to build the back end infrastructure. It's like, I want to be in marketing. They just do like fun things and treat clients and, you know, but what do they really do? You know, are really building anything?
1,000%.
And that can be like the stereotypical reputation of people in marketing, not really realizing all the hats that you wear, you know, whether it's, and also like what is realistic to expect of marketers, to your point earlier about trying to squeeze water out of a rock. And it's like, well, you know, how can we make this go viral? It's like, I don't think you understand how the internet works, but okay, let's talk about this. Yeah.
I had a bit of a reputation when I was in-house because I'd have people come to me being like, we need X, Y, and Z happening. And I'd be like, no, we can't, not even from a resource standpoint sometimes, where I was like, what is the point of this? And so people just want to move. They think taking the action is enough. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense to do. And so, and then it's a marketing problem.
Yep, 100%. So you referenced it briefly, but you know, when you work with clients with your company now, who I will refrain from calling an agency because you do not call yourself an agency. You're an integrated marketing team, right? So I'm trying to be disciplined in my own verbiage.
I appreciate it.
You, from what I can tell, your approach is much more bespoke. It's much more fine-tuned. It's much more integrated, I guess would be the word, right? And so how would you describe your approach to partnering with businesses that need help with marketing? What does an integrated marketing strategy look like, where you're coming in as an advocate, as an extension of their team, doing some of the deliverables, but then also educating them on what their options are and helping guide their decision-making? Like, what does that look like when you're working with a business owner that knows they need help with their marketing, but they aren't sure what to do next?
Yeah, I'm gonna start with the way that it's a traditional marketing support is delivered right now. And so a lot of the times, and I would say too, internally, people see marketing as kind of, it's siloed off. Each area of marketing is kind of siloed off. And therefore, agencies are also siloed off in many times. This is not to discount agencies. We need agencies. They can do great, great work. But what happens is the business owners don't know what they don't know, like I said earlier. And so therefore, they have like tunnel vision. They're like, oh, I need to start marketing. I guess let's try social media. But what happens when they don't have other areas of marketing covered, that's when they're like, wait, social media is not fixing all of my problems. What's going on? And so it's never just the one channel. But the problem is the support that's offered is so external a lot of the times that they can only focus on that one channel. And sometimes you need that, absolutely, which is, again, I'm not here to talk trash about agencies or the experts who do that. But for companies, especially the ones that I work with, they're scared to invest in marketing. They've usually never done it before. Maybe they've been around for a while and just never needed to rely on it, but now they're ready to build a brand. So they never know, they get overwhelmed. So that's really what happens, is that everyone's so overwhelmed. They start dealing with shiny object syndrome. They're up against a lot of marketing traps, which are a lot of the times BS, because marketers are really great at marketing. So they can't really filter out what they should and should not be doing. So essentially what we do is we come in, we understand their business objectives so deeply. And not even that we're doing like months long discovery, we don't do that, but we truly give ourselves a seat at their table. And we're saying, talk us through what you're thinking in terms of your business objectives. And I think something that I personally love to do is finding kind of those weird loopholes of, okay, how can this translate to marketing? How is this product launch that you're leading up to? How is that actually going to sit in the market? How is that actually going to be translated into all these other operations? So we're looking at everything from all angles and basically saying, okay, here's our buffet of marketing options. What's actually going to work right now up against your budget, your priorities, what's realistic to execute? What resources do you have available? Do you want to use us? Do you want to go through another partner? Because we are more than happy to work with, you know, other people as we do. So what I think I'm so proud of in that what we've built is, it doesn't, when it comes to the implementation, yeah, okay, we're overseeing that, we're doing it from a strategic standpoint, but I'm operating like that neutral third party, making sure that my clients are really understanding what they're about to invest in. Whether that's time, money, or energy, it doesn't matter, but that, okay, you want to spend your time, or like whatever resources, time, on social media, this is essentially what you're going to expect from that. So this way, in the process, they can see how things are going to work for them. It helps them kind of understand why some things are a little bit more challenging to get off the ground. It helps them. A lot of my clients start to kind of freak out a little bit because they're like, oh my God, what's going on? Because it almost feels like they're jumping off a cliff. So I'm making sure that they can see the bottom when they do that. And so I think that's something that we do a little bit differently. And we really can only do that when we're so integrated. We know everything kind of going on in the business as though you had an in-house team.
Right. Because you really do need the context of how marketing is connected to everything else to be able to make the right suggestions. You know, it's like when people ask, like, well, how do you win with social media? It's like, well, it depends. If you're Apple, the answer is different than if you just started a brand new company, right? Like, so there's no like one size fits all, just like bucket that you can put people into or say, just do this and you'll get this outcome, because there's all the other immediate context of that particular business and what they're trying to achieve. So I love that.
I think that's also why it shifts so much, because they don't know. And I could set out, the amount of times I've set out any marketing strategies and then we've had to pivot and evolve just because the operations alone didn't work out for the company. You know what I mean? So it's things like that that we take into consideration versus being like, here's your strategy, have fun.
Right. And I mean, and that's really, you know, where you, I think, do a good job of complementing the strengths of an agency, which is we do these three or four services really, really well. And so if you feel like you need that, give us money and we'll do that for you. You can be basically the consultant in the middle of that saying, actually, we should do this, or we should implement it in this way, or we should complement this agency with this other work. And really kind of being the glue that holds everything together so that the business owner just knows, like, I have somebody who's helping me with my marketing. They're going to fill any gap that I have. If there's something that they can't do, they're going to find the person who can do it. And you just kind of become the Swiss Army knife on their team to help patch all the holes in the dike, so to speak.
Exactly.
So when you are coming in and you're working with a new company, what is some, like, the, you know, I don't know if it's an exhaustive checklist that you have, like, okay, let me see their LinkedIn platform and page. Do they have a cover photo? Has it been posted to in the last 6 days? Like, I don't know what that list looks like, or if it's just more of an internal gut check thing. But what are the things that you look for right off the bat when you start working with a new business? And they're like, hey, let us know how we're doing. What are the things, the indicators that tell you whether they have some good infrastructure in place or some good basics in place? Or what are the things that you look for to really get a sense of how well they're currently doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I look at their digital presence first, especially their website. Their website says a lot if it's just not optimized by any means, if the messaging's not clear. That's just like such an easy place to look at. But then I dive deeper. I see, where are they online? Not even just LinkedIn, if they are, or, you know, social media, if they are, how frequently are they posting? What kind of content are they posting? At this point, I also will have known, or like they'll have shared their challenges, right? Like, we're not, you know, this is what we're trying to accomplish, but we're not really getting, you know, we feel like we've plateaued. A lot of the times I work with companies that have just plateaued in their marketing. And so what I do essentially is basically identify their gap. You know, this is what you're trying to accomplish, but this is actually what's being done. And so much of that happens with positioning. So I work with them on making sure that we're all clear on the competitive positioning that we have against them, or with to work with them. And that kind of dictates everything else, because it helps us be creative in what types of content we want to put out, or the types of priorities we want to do, or where we can get creative around the initiatives and things like that. So that's my very first step, is just looking at their digital presence against this kind of quote unquote interview, if you will, that I kind of conduct with them, asking, you know, okay, what's your long-term vision? I'm always asking that long-term vision, because I don't want, a lot of the times people who are just so focused on the short term, the value that they see in marketing is really difficult to sort of like pierce through. Whereas people who are like, I'm thinking long-term about my business, they can then feel it's a little bit easier to explain the value of marketing to them and have them really see, again, the pathway that we're building, the blueprint we're mapping out for them.
And tell me a little bit about what that blueprint looks like. Like, once you actually have a good sense of where they're at, their kind of current state, you have an idea of where they want to go, you can paint a picture of a path of where you're going. What does that approach look like? Because you're typically, if you're thinking from a holistic marketing perspective, it's not just, we're just going to fix your social media, or we're just going to fix your website, or we're just going to fix a newsletter. You're trying to blend all these different platforms and mediums together into a unified story, if you will, but you're trying to leverage them all for the strengths that they offer. So what is that approach look like? You know, a terminology that's coming up pretty frequently is people start talking about omnichannel. It used to just be social media, like all the social medias, but now it's like, well, now it's video and audio and text and social and email. And like, people start to use this as like a catch-all for doing all the things. But what are those key vehicles that you look to really move the needle for businesses, especially the ones that are resource constrained? And it's like, you know, we want to make a big difference, but we don't have a $1 million marketing budget.
Yeah. I look at a few different things. So again, kind of going, the positioning is sort of our anchor. So that's why it's like the first thing we do, even if it's temporary positioning, maybe we want to dive even deeper. Because a lot of the times I work with people, we don't do extensive discovery, months and months of discovery. We start pretty much immediately. And we are sort of exercising as we go, all calculated risk, but exercising as we go, because I find that a lot of the times in that stage, clients haven't thought so deeply about certain things that will eventually kind of essentially make the ceiling. I don't even know what the term I'm working for, looking for right now, but basically the ceiling will shatter essentially. And right. So the competitive positioning I use as kind of our anchor, because that tells in their long-term vision, because that tells me where we're heading. So those building blocks that we're looking for, how are we going to what channels are available to us? The channels don't change no matter the company. Again, it's a buffet of marketing, right? So it's like you can pick from social media, like within social media, within press, within advertising, whatever channels. But that's when we start focusing on what is aligned with the brand, what's going to add, you know, if it's like a fun brand, that dictates the channel. Like, we're not going to necessarily put them on LinkedIn, for instance, as just one basic example, right? And so we basically start kind of piecing this puzzle together in many ways of here are all the marketing channels. We're looking at these five different, I like to break it up in like five different buckets. So like, what kind of content are we putting out? So what are your content pillars? What social media channels feel appropriate for our audience and also for what we plan to communicate? How does our digital presence look like? And what about email? It's like all these different components kind of coming together because it is an omni-channel approach, but it's not a blanket one because we're taking into account, what is your brand? What are you really trying to accomplish in the long run? And then also, what initiatives are you willing to invest in? Because I think so often, a lot of the times people think, okay, I'm going on social media, that's enough. And that's going to generate everything. And you're the content marketing expert. So I would imagine you will feel me on this, but relying on social media to be the number one generator of your content is very difficult. It's very hard to stretch social media into day in and day out. And so what are some initiatives that are aligned with your overarching business objectives, your brand objectives, and how can we squeeze that to fuel these other things? So I try to think as efficiently as possible because most of my clients are, again, at growth stages. So they don't have a team. They don't have endless resources. So how can we operate very efficiently? And so it's auditing the resources. It's understanding your brand objectives, your business objectives, and really identifying, you know, what initiatives are going to get you closer there. So I think the rest is just, okay, here's the channels that are appropriate for you. And I say it as though it's so simple, but in reality, it is in many ways, because it like, if you're so clear on X, Y, and Z, it can be really simple. But the problem is, or the challenge, I should say, is that not everyone knows that until they get into it.
Sure. And I'll definitely echo the sentiment you shared about social media. It is a fickle mistress where one day it promises glory and virality and massive exposure. And the next day, nobody likes you anymore. And oh, yeah. all your comments are people that have beef with your free thing you're giving away, and, you know, leaving you messages that are like, I'm pretty sure you're not a person. I'm pretty sure this is a phishing scam, you know, but hey, it's engagement. We're measuring engagement. And so, you know, and then just understanding, and I imagine this is coaching that you do with your clients too. It's like, none of these are bad channels. They just all have strengths and weaknesses. It's like, you want to get in front of a lot of people really quickly? TikTok is great. Go for it. Nobody will remember you five minutes after they watch your video, but they will have seen it with their eyeballs for at least 2 seconds. You know, and so there are some platforms that are good for discovery. There are others that are better for engagement and like warming leads. There are others where you have a more direct connection with the person, like a podcast or a newsletter, where you don't have to fight with an algorithm to get in front of them. You know, so they're all fine if you know how to use them. And I think that's really the key for business owners, is figuring out which strategies to use and then how to leverage their strengths, understanding what they're not great at, you know, which I think comes down to focus and being able to help them choose the winning methods, strategies, mediums, depending on what those long-term goals are. And a mistake that I see a lot in business owners is this sense that they have to do everything. It's like, if we're going to do marketing, we're going to do all the marketing. We're going to be posting daily on every single social media platform, unique content, because you can't put something on Instagram and put something on Facebook. People will figure it out. The secret is nobody cares, but the person creating the content or telling the person to create the content feels that way. We're going to create this weekly newsletter. We're going to have this live stream show, and it just kind of becomes this massive amount of work that's not actually generating any forward momentum. So how do you help your clients simplify the options down to a core group of marketing strategies to help them make forward progress? Like, what does that look like? What do those conversations look like? And then, you know, how do you, like, what kind of results have you seen when you help a business owner really simplify and stop chasing the shiny object?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I love it because I love what you said. It's like, you're doing all this, but nothing's going forward. And I think that's where a lot of the, it's interesting. I love this about kind of since my started my business 3 years ago is that I've come across a lot of people who when they come to me, they're done. Like, I don't even know why they're having a conversation with me because they're so over marketing. They're like so burned for whatever reason. They've worked with people before and basically dropped thousands of dollars on air, essentially, you know, or they're just exhausted or they've done every trick in the book and all the things. And so I actually did have one woman who was that to the point to where during our consultation, she was essentially stopping me every other like kind of suggestion or whatever I was saying and basically almost like arguing with me about it. And I'm someone where like, argue with me. Like I'm never going to be like, I'm always right 100%. Like if someone, and it has to work for them too. So that's also another thing. It's like, I never approach someone being like, this is what I'm suggesting. Take it or leave it. Like I never am not like that. I need to know people's hesitations. I need to know people's feedback because that helps me either come up with a different solution for them or help them walk through it a little bit more. And so with this woman in particular, she was literally doing everything across the board. She was posting on Twitter, but it was like an automated post thing. She was starting a YouTube channel that she did not feel comfortable with. She had a newsletter that she hated doing every single week. Like, it was like everything. I was like, why are you doing any of this? like, I'm surprised that you even had the discipline to keep up with it. Like, I would have stopped long ago. And so I literally was like, just stop everything. Just stop. And my question to her was, what do you actually enjoy doing? And she's like, well, I love writing these. She would write these kind of op-eds or articles for other media. I was like, start doing that for yourself. Like, start doing that for your own website. Just start there. Only post things that are organic to you that you can then spin off of from the article and whatnot. She said within a few weeks of implementing, she was very overwhelmed at first because I had to stop her and be like, essentially, I was just like, you're here because you've tried every tactic that someone's told you to do. I'm telling you to just stop everything. And so give yourself some breathing room too and just focus on what you like to do. And within a month, she cut everything in half. Like she's like, the amount of time I'm spending on marketing is 50% less. And I'm already seeing more engagement. And so I think a lot of the times people are so scared to cut things because they're afraid of missing out. And I get it. Everyone's got FOMO and whatnot. But at the same time, it's like, if it's not benefiting you at all, if you get no joy from it, why? Like, why even do it? And so that is why I was like, cut this. Like, you don't need to do it because one, there's zero benefit. You're not getting enough traction to where it's worth keeping up. You can always go back to it as well. Obviously, there's some special circumstances where it's like, okay, like it is worse to have a stale in social media profile that like never goes back to, or like a podcast that you started and then like you never came, like every other month, maybe you do it. Like it's worse for that than it is to just kind of double down on something you like, stabilize the operations for that, and then keep growing. And that's how people scale. And I think it's hard to kind of pierce through the minds of business leaders who don't know marketing. All they feel are overwhelmed because like you said, there's just so many options. There's shiny object syndrome. They always think they're doing something wrong because you hear about viral. I went viral because of this. Like a lot of marketing is BS because they're saying it's all clickbait. And, you know, we so easily fall trapped to it because we're in comparison mode. We have imposter syndrome, whatever sort of other things that come up. And especially when you're doing it all alone, how can you not? And so that's something that I really focus on. And that's why that anchor of like, what is your ultimate objective to your business? And so the strategies that we do are less about channel marketing strategies and more about what are your initiatives that you're going to invest in. So again, for me right now, it's a podcast because that's all I can handle. So that's what I'm willing to invest in and spend my time in because I love doing it. And I know it's going to have, here are the benefits that I've laid out for myself. And then once I get that, you know, stabilized, I'm going to start adding in other things and it just builds from there. And so I love looking at and this is actually in that guide. I have a three-step guide to cultivating your competitive edge. And that really helps kind of break down one, audit, what are you doing? If you're spreading yourself too thin, what's working, what's not, what do you hate doing, what do you like doing, what kind of response are you getting, you know, what, and then what initiatives are you kind of looking at? What do you really want to hope to accomplish? Because again, you look at the initiatives, it is looking at different mediums and channels, but it's less about the, you know, social media and email. Like, I think there's different layers to the mediums and channels available to us. So like a podcast is a channel technically, right? But I see a podcast as more of an initiative. And then social media is just the channel in which I distribute it. Some people look at social media and they're like, this is our initiative. We're doubling down on social media because we believe in this type of content creation, whatever. It can vary. That's where it varies by company and, you know, whatever is appropriate. But if people are up against shiny object syndrome, I just say stop everything. Like if you're really feeling overwhelmed, stop and then do the audit. And then it's really that simple. And so to prevent that as you go, it's just going back, what am I willing to prioritize without investing more money into it? And what am I willing to prioritize because I need to invest more money into it? And those are going to be different answers.
For sure. And I'll definitely link both those things that you mentioned, both your podcast and the cheat sheet in the show notes. So if you want to check them both out, they'll be there for you. And then as we wrap up, I just want to pick your brain on some of the shiny objects that you're seeing, trends that are particularly timely that everyone's thinking about or talking about. And you know, they're all technically net positives, right? It's like you can spend $1 million and make $1. It's like, well, you know, we technically profited from this marketing campaign, but could that effort have been better spent elsewhere? What are those kind of shiny objects that you're seeing that you find yourself, I don't know if encouraging your clients to not pursue is the answer, but just making sure they have both eyes wide open before they start investing in those things.
Advertising is number one on that list for sure. The reason being is because advertising costs, if it's done well, it costs a lot of money. If it's done poorly, you just wasted a good chunk of money, right? And it's one of those things that is designed to be extremely accessible, but the actual value in it, if it's not done in a very strategic way, you won't get that return on investment. The amount of times I hear people who don't have any other marketing going on for them, they just dove into Google AdWords and spend $800 a month. They even invested in an agency to help. That's when I'm like, absolutely, like that's when I start turning on the agencies because I'm like, I can't, like, they should not have, they're not ready for that advertising. And I think advertising is number one on that list, 100%, because it's so accessible. They think it's so easy. It's designed to feel very easy. It can be extremely effective. But the reality is, you're just, if you're doing it just to try it, but you don't want to be too risky with it, you're not going to see the numbers that everyone's marketing. And so that's something to consider. Another thing too is social media templates are, there's been a lot of templatized marketing happening in the industry saying, I will teach you how, I have $1 million business. I'm going to teach you every step I did. And again, not to discount anyone's success at all, but it's hard to templatize marketing because you're basically saying do exactly these things. I'm not going to tell you that what actually happened day to day to achieve $1 million in my business. I'm just going to tell you kind of this general framework that I followed. It just took me 7 years to do, and it took me a lot of trial and error as well, and a lot of fails and attempts and all the things. And I think that's also dangerous, because going back to that example I provided with that woman, she said she did every single tactic that's every marketer she turned to told her to do. I'm like, well, which one did you want to do? Which ones did you decide were right for your business? And I think no one can tell you, even I, you know, I get in there, I get into the nitty gritty of my clients' businesses, but at the end of the day, I have to empower them to make the call. So I'm always saying, FYI, I will obviously support you with this, but just so you know, if we do X, Y, and Z, this may happen, or I want to, like, you know, make sure that we're prepared for whatever, right? And so, like, I have a client, she was about to drop $5,000 on an advertisement. And I'm like, absolutely not, when you've got all this organic marketing that's being inconsistently run because of all these other factors, right? So I'm like, I'd rather see you drop that money, invest it elsewhere into marketing, that versus the one-time ad that isn't, may or may not support us. So it's really going back to those priorities. It's really going back to what is a initiative that you are proud of that is going to be a staple in your business. And it doesn't, if you want to get off all social media, by all means, get off all social media. Where are we going to double down? You know, and I think, again, it really is stabilizing what is working. So it's almost like brainless to do, and it's extremely easy to execute. And then you keep adding in more. And I think people think that they just need to dive head first. And I'm like, that is it. The shiny object syndrome is all these channels that they have available to them that they see work for other people. And it's always going to be dependent on what works best for them and what they actually care about.
For sure. Well, and diving head first always sounds like a good idea until it's a zero entry pool and you're diving exactly. head first into 6 inches of water, right?
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your expertise. We'll definitely link everything in the show notes if everyone listening wants to learn more about you and the work that you're doing. But again, just thank you so much for being just a great guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Travis. This was so much fun.
So my number one takeaway from my conversation with Caroline is when she started talking about, like, just stop everything that you're doing. Because it's very difficult. It's very difficult to, quote unquote, admit defeat, to own up to the fact that what I'm currently doing isn't working and I need to pivot, I need to adjust, I need to stop. And there can be this sense, this hesitation of, you know, I've already invested so much, I already have so many hours or dollars invested in this particular strategy, and I'm not getting the results that I want, but I feel like maybe it's right around the corner. And that may be true. But if you find yourself in a position where you're feeling pulled in every direction and you're just completely overwhelmed, you're not sure what's working or what to do next, I wholeheartedly agree with her sentiment. You know, just stop everything and reassess what are the handful of things you can be amazing at or excellent at. And it usually does overlap with the things that you enjoy doing, because you'll bring your best self to those initiatives. But definitely take some time, take stock, take an audit of how you're currently doing your marketing. What are things that are working better than you hoped that they would, that you can double down on? What are some things that maybe you need to reassess and reengage and see, is that something you want to keep doing? I think this is a great opportunity to do that. Definitely make sure to check out her free guide, her 3-step guide to help you identify your competitive edge. And also check out her podcast, which are both linked in the show notes below if you want to go and check those out. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Honest Marketing Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, be honest.